All right, very good. If you'll turn in your Bible, please, to Acts chapter 5. Today we have Acts 5, verses 27 to 32, which, it seemed to fit well with what we're doing today. This is where we were already in our study of Acts, and it seemed to fit well with our theme for the day, so we will just continue in our study as we were doing. Let's hear the word of the Lord. This is about the apostles being arrested, and they were in prison the night before, and an angel of the Lord came and let them out and said, go back into the temple grounds and preach some more. And so when they did, and they were picked up, and they were arrested, and they were brought back in. So that's where we are in verse 27. It says, when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, didn't we strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Thanks be to God for his word. Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, as we reflect on these verses and on the things that are preached in them, that you would, through your Holy Spirit, cause us to know and understand and lay hold of the gospel, and, Lord, to be such clear witnesses as Peter was, to our own generation that needs to hear the words of life. And so we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Saints, later on in the book of Acts, when we get to chapter 16, we will meet a lady named Lydia. And it will say about Lydia that the Lord opened her heart to heed the things that Paul was preaching about. Okay, that's what he does. The Lord opens hearts. So far in our studies in the book of Acts, one thing is for sure, that the message of Jesus Christ is getting out there. Okay, God speaks to hearts through the gospel. Right? Jesus, what did he do? He went about preaching. Remember, in a nutshell, what his message was, the message of Jesus. The kingdom of heaven is near, kingdom of heaven is at hand, therefore what? Repent and believe the good news, right? The message is grace, God's immense grace, greater than our sin. And that is a message that broken people need to hear, and it is good news, right? Jesus said, believe the good news. That message is good news. It's welcome news to people who are laden down with guilt, to people who are lost in doubt and uncertainty, to people who are anxious with fear about things to come. Good news, the grace of God towards sinners. And in Acts so far, from the first day of the gospel, that great day called Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down with such power, the news has sounded out with confidence and with clarity. The God of our fathers has sent us a Savior to redeem us from our transgressions. That's good news. And the people heard, and God opened their hearts, right? Thousands of hearts. When the gospel about Jesus is preached in all of its truth and its beauty, God opens hearts, and people discover and they obtain the thing that they need most in life, which is redemption, right? The knowledge of God, a peace with God, a reconciliation with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We are where we are in chapter 5 because that message, which God commissioned, has been filling Jerusalem. A man says, you filled Jerusalem with your teaching. Okay, it's been filling Jerusalem now for months since Jesus ascended to heaven. And by this point, it's made such an impact on so many hearts that it has shifted the religious mood of the whole city. Okay, this is all people are talking about. God has exalted Jesus. He's enthroned Jesus. the one who the rulers condemned and crucified, but God has made him Prince and Savior. And of course, we've had these numerous wondrous signs done by the hand by God, by the hands of these men who are proclaiming this life in Jesus. And it's becoming inescapable that the hand of God is at work among us, right? And the voice of God is calling us, be reconciled. Be reconciled to God. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the reason we find ourselves in this scene is because the traditional religious rulers can't tolerate having this spiritual revolution or renovation taking place on their watch. They were comfortable with the way things were. Okay, there was, there's a status quo, and they were the ones in charge, and they were managing things just fine. Okay, now here's this movement among the people, completely bypassing them, apparently. And who knows what this is going to lead to? You know, these sudden popular waves of change can be unpredictable. We want stability. Well, there's a problem with stability sometimes, friends, and that, you know, with maintaining the current state of things, if you're in a state of guilt and sin and anxiety, that's not a benefit to stay that way, is it? In that case, you need change. Right? If you're walking in darkness, what you need is a change. If you don't know the truth of God, you need the status quo to change. You need the light. You need good news. Right? The Spirit of God is upon me because he has anointed me to what? Preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Right? Healing is a change, isn't it? It's a change of state. He sent me to proclaim freedom to the captives. That's a change, right? That's not maintaining the status quo. To give sight to the blind, to give liberty to those who are oppressed, right? That's a change. I don't want to maintain the status quo. I need deliverance. So thousands of people are being changed. And so the city is changing as God is opening hearts through the preaching of Christ by these apostles. Well, the council doesn't want that. So they're trying to shut this down. And they're not even actually considering the message on its own terms. They're not even listening to it. They just want to go back to how things were and then try to stuff this whole thing back in the box. Well, God doesn't want this thing stuffed back in the box. He wants it out there. Okay, because people are lost. People are broken. Right? People are headed toward death and Hades. So he told the apostles, go and preach all the words of this new life. And Peter says, we must obey God, right? He's commanded us to preach the good news, news of God's grace to sinners. Okay, so see what he says in verse 31. God has exalted Jesus to his right hand to be Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. Why did God raise up Jesus? Right? What's the expected outcome of the preaching of the word of salvation in Jesus? You know, like an organization like ours or lots of organizations, when they write their like 5-year plan or their mission statement or purpose statement, things like that, they'll typically put in it something like an expected outcome. You know, what do we expect to happen if we take such and such a step? Okay, so why did God raise up Jesus? Why did he exalt him to be a prince and savior, right? What's the expected outcome? It's to bring people to repentance so that their sins may be forgiven, right? That's why. So when the word of Christ, when the message about Christ genuinely takes hold of a heart, right? Like in Acts 16, it says about Lydia, how the Lord opened her heart, and I believe genuinely that's what's happening with our own Lydia, right? The reaction is repentance. Repentance. Right? Two men went up to the temple to pray. One of them a very religious man, right? And he prayed about himself. And he said, I thank you, O Lord God, that I'm not like other men, those extortioners, those adulterers, those perverts and crooks and the unjust. I fast, I tithe. Right? And the other man, standing far away, wouldn't so much as look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, be merciful God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Right? Repentance is what takes place in the grip of that awful knowledge that I fall short. I fall short of righteousness, that I've chosen the wrong way, that I deserve consequences, the consequences that I fear to bear. Right? I may already actually be suffering consequences. Right? I may be suffering the fallout from my sins and my wrongdoing. I may be undergoing shame right now. God, be merciful. I need mercy. I need a pardon. I ask forgiveness. Your way is true, but I haven't followed it. Right? And that's very different, friends, from that, nobody's perfect, sort of careless shrugging that people do, this attitude that you often find. You know, a person can acknowledge that they're a wrongdoer without really being repentant about it, and you get that a lot now. Oh, well, you know, we all have our faults. What are you going to do? That's life, right? Don't tell me you're better than me. Who are you to judge? That kind of thing. No, the repentant man or woman is compelled to grief, right? He feels a weight. He feels condemnation, right? She's cut to the heart and seeks a way out. And gladly would lay hold of a rescuer if one were to come. Right? In the Old Testament, the prophets, what was their message? Right? The message from the Lord was, even back then, repentance. The word that they frequently used was turn. Right? When I say they used it, I mean that was the word of the Lord, right? That's the word of the Lord they were speaking. Thus saith the Lord, turn from your evil ways, O backsliding Israel. Why do you insist on wandering off into sinful ways that can't benefit you? Why do you go on these crooked paths instead of walking in the well-lit, safe, straight ways of your God? Right? Why do you live for selfish pleasure and for money and you don't give your God a moment's thought? Why do you turn a deaf ear to my commandments? Okay, repentance has always been a main element of what God has been saying to men and women ever since the beginning. Turn, return, return to me. How can a person ever come to repentance? It can only happen if they've been shown the truth. Isn't that right? Otherwise, if you haven't been shown the truth, you don't have the light, how do you know what's to repent from? Right? How would I ever know that there is a right path for me to walk unless the truth about right and wrong is made known to me? Okay, now I may be suffering because of my sin. I may be suffering consequences, and I may be going through pain and sorrow and grief and shame and regret about my life, but I wouldn't know what to do. I wouldn't know what sort of change to make. I couldn't correct anything. I would stay brokenhearted. I would stay miserable, captive, burdened, blind. And it's only when the light of the truth of God shines on me that I can actually understand what needs to change and in what direction. Okay, so why did God raise up Jesus and why did he exalt him to be Prince and Savior? To give repentance. Right? Why does God command his ambassadors to present the truth of the gospel to men and women? It's to give them repentance. Right? The message of Christ is God speaking. Right? He's speaking to you and me to give us repentance. Right? And the way that Paul says it, he says, we set forth the truth plainly. Okay, we don't use tricks, we don't use word games, we don't try to emotionally manipulate people and put peer pressure on them, we don't try to trick or deceive people, we just want them to see Jesus, right? God sent Jesus, he raised him up, he showed him openly, he spoke to Israel through him. Okay, John said, no one has ever seen God, but the Son of God has made him known, right? We know him. Right? The Spirit of the Lord was upon Jesus to make God known. And that's what people said. This man talks like nobody ever talked. Right? He teaches with authority. He's the greatest of the prophets. He's the perfect prophet. Right? The New Testament says that God in the past, he spoke to our forefathers through the prophets, but now in this last day, he has spoken to us through a son. Okay, a son who is the express image of the Father, a son who is the perfect stamp of divinity on human nature. Why did he do it? It's to give repentance to Israel, right? It's to give the forgiveness of sins. Open your heart to what God is saying to you in Jesus Christ. Okay, not who's Jesus. He's not a person that you sort of make up in your own imagination. He's not the man who's sort of the product of movies and caricatures and popular impressions. Christ as he is, Christ himself, the God-man. Okay, the scripture says a man who was in all respects made like we are, but without sin. Okay, he's the perfect one to be our prince and our savior. He doesn't have to repent of his own sin, but he's gracious toward us in our sin. Okay, he's a man through whom the very truth of God flowed out into starving ears and hearts. Okay, in the Old Testament, we see him promised. In the four Gospels, we see him presented. In the book of Acts, where we are, we're seeing him being preached. And in the letters of the Bible, we see him explained. And then in Revelation, we see him coming again as the King of Kings. Right? God has spoken to us, to you and me, in a Son. And this book that you're holding is all about the Son. Okay? Why is God attempting to communicate with you and fill not just Jerusalem? Why is he attempting to fill the whole world with the preaching of this Son? It's to give you repentance. To give you and me repentance. There's a song that says, when I look into your holiness, right, when I gaze into your loveliness, when all things that surround me become mere shadows in the light of you, I worship you. That's what the Lord is trying to do in communicating and turning the lights on. He's trying to cause us to see himself and bring us to repentance. When we hear God's word faithfully preached, okay, or when we read this book, when we comprehend the exposition and the records that have been left for us, we learn much, much more than simply that God is good, God exists, right? God is kind, you know, or whatever vague sort of impressions the society wants to give us about what he's like. We learn truth. We learn about a prince and savior. Okay, we learn specifics about righteousness, about the law, about transgression, about judgment, about an escape, right? A redeemer, a prince, and a savior, right? What's my condition? Why are we here? Where are things going? What's man's problem? What's the solution? Him, right? Him God has raised up to be prince and savior, to give repentance and forgiveness of sins. Okay, and in this book, we learn about what it took for God to bestow the forgiveness of sins. And what does the book say? Without the shedding of blood, there isn't any. Okay, there is no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. Okay, friends, it's not nearly close to enough to know that nobody's perfect. Okay, God has much, much more to say to us than, well, nobody's perfect. He speaks. And specifically, he has spoken to you in a Son to do what? To give you repentance. Okay, of course, the evil one would rather you just remain just as you are, right? That you're ignorant, right? That you never discover the truth. You never think about the law, judgment. You never find out about the redemption that's in Jesus Christ. He would prefer that you turn a deaf ear to the whole thing and that you never feel the weight of your guilt. Or if you do feel the weight of your guilt, that you never find out that there's a way out from under it. Okay? And he wants you to soothe your guilty conscience with more distractions, more pleasures, more fun, and just shake off all those uncomfortable thoughts. Don't ask too carefully what God might have to say. God's nice. He'll let you slide, right? And all the while, you remain a captive, right? You remain brokenhearted. You remain anxious, right? The status quo doesn't change. You can try to drown it out for a few days, but you know it always creeps back. Okay, but the scripture says that Christ is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. He makes the wounded spirit whole. He calms the troubled breast. He's manna to the hungry soul and to the weary, rest. Every one of those half lines represents a change. Those are welcome changes. How does he do that? By giving you repentance. Okay, what's the message? What's the word from God? Repent and believe the good news. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Go and preach the gospel to every creature. Go and preach all the words of this new life. Right? Peter even says in his letter that baptism now saves you. In what way? Okay, well, when Christ has given you repentance, when you learn that you need grace, and you learn that God will give you grace, right? Because by the shedding of blood is the remission of sins, and there's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He takes away sin. Christ suffered, the just for the unjust, to do what? To bring me to God. Okay, Lord Jesus Christ, save me. Rescue me, a sinner, right? God, be merciful to me. And Peter says that when a baptism involves the pledge of a good conscience toward God, a desire to be saved, to be joined to the Son of God, who's exalted on high with angels, authorities, and power subject to him, then the Holy Spirit comes down and enters the heart. And a change is made, right? Like the song says, the transaction so quickly was made, heaven came down, and glory filled my soul. That's salvation. Okay, and Peter says, we're witnesses, and so is the Holy Spirit, who what? Who God gives to those who obey him. How could we stop telling people about this life from above? Why would we stop with this life where heaven comes down and glory fills somebody's soul? Right, where a person's heart is open to receive the things preached to her, and she's cut to the heart, and she perceives her Savior, and she pledges herself to him, and is changed forever. How could we not obey God's command to tell people this kind of thing? Right, we're his witnesses, and so is the Holy Spirit. Look at the change. Look at the difference. This person who once was in ignorance of God is now absorbing his word and is walking in the truth and is putting off her sins. Okay, you skeptics out there and scoffers and sinners, don't you hear the testimony? Right? Don't you see the peace of God that guards the heart and her mind in Christ Jesus? Right? Hers and all these others who have been given repentance and the remission of their sins. Okay, so like the song says, once I was lost in sin's degradation, Jesus came down to bring me salvation. He lifted me up from sorrow and shame. Now I belong to him. Okay, listen to the word of God when it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. Don't be wise in your own eyes, the scripture says. Fear the Lord God and depart from evil. He's speaking to you. He's speaking to you today through his Son. Right? Evil and selfish men put Jesus to death, but God exalted him and has made him Prince and Savior. Why? To give you repentance and forgiveness of sins. Right? Happy day. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Well may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its rapture all abroad. Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. Okay, in all your ways, acknowledge him. He'll direct your paths. May God have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus said, I tell you, that man went home justified, because whoever exalts himself will be humbled. But whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Well, thanks be to the Lord Jesus, who gives repentance and the remission of sins. How can we ever stop giving God praise and thanks for his good gift to us in the Lord Jesus? Friends, let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, What more can we say? We praise your name. We thank you, Lord, for opening our hearts. Thank you for sending us the word of salvation, something we could not have discovered, something we could not have devised, that the Son of God came down and became a man, walked among us and shed his blood to rescue the world from its corruption and sin. And poor sinners heard the good news, responded, and received, in the name of Jesus Christ, received your Holy Spirit. Father, we praise you for such good news, and we ask you to help us to be ambassadors for the gospel, for the Savior, for the sake of those who are lost and going astray. Be pleased, Lord, to use us to save, impart eternal life to those who need it so badly. Thank you, Lord, for your work in Lydia's heart and life. We lift her up now to you as we prepare for her to enter into the water of baptism. And we simply pray for our church family, Lord, to be united in our love for her, for each other, and for you. Blessed be your name, Lord God. In Jesus Christ we pray, amen.